flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Welcome back to New Orleans and Media Row, where we are live ahead of Super Bowl 59 on Grant and Danny live in Washington, D.C. Danny is holding down the fort back in D.C. I'm out here in New Orleans. We have tracked down a couple of guys we've had on the show many, many times and get to enjoy insight from in person. Steve Palazzolo, Sam Monson. You can check out their show, Check the Mic, which I listen to all of the time over with the 33rd team. Gentlemen, thank you for the time. We appreciate you.
Anytime. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
It's good to see you guys again. You'll be hearing Danny back there. He'll be the voice from above.
The voice
that is
of God.
Asking you
the
questions.
Angelic
exactly.
Voice, the melody in your ears, yes.
Love it.
I wanted to start, though, before we get to the Commanders. We were just talking about this. I want to get your thoughts. I find Jalen Hurts fascinating because, like, with Barkley, with Kelce, with Mahomes, we know where these guys stand. These are Hall of Fame types. I've kind of gone up and down and back and forth on Hurts. Where are you guys on, like, what he is as a player? And compare that to what he was when he was outperforming Mahomes in the Super Bowl a couple years ago. Because it feels like he's dipped since then.
Yeah, I mean, I've been feeling the same thing as far as the roller coaster ride goes with Hurts. But I think he's solid overall. And I think most NFL teams, you want to have that elite quarterback that is situation-proof. And I don't think Hurts is that guy. But he's been blessed with one of the best situations, much like, say, Brock Purdy with the Niners overall. So, but Hurts makes it run pretty well, right? He is he has some games where he doesn't get the ball outside to A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. He has games where he does. But he's still a threat with his legs, does the tush-push thing, right? You've got some value there with his legs. And overall, I think manages the game, does a pretty good job. But, yeah, we saw him play great in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. We haven't seen much of that since. So I think he's still solid in a very good situation. But I don't know if you want him going, you know, blow for blow with the elite quarterbacks.
No, I think that's definitely true. But I think he also has a little bit of that intangible quality that great quarterbacks have where they are able to elevate their game in those important situations. Like, I think Hurts is able to do that, even if he's coming from a lower starting point. And then the other thing is that value with his legs is really important because we talk about that all the time for, like, you know, new young quarterbacks that aren't good enough really to be starting quarterbacks in the NFL. They can buy themselves some time, some growing room with their athletic threat. Well, Hurts is good enough to be a quarterback, but then he also gets to buy himself that extra room with that rushing threat. So it helps to bridge the gap between the elite quarterbacks and him, even if he's not an elite passer.
Gents, I know from the eye test that my Washington defense couldn't handle it and couldn't slow Jalen Hurts down, but this Kansas City defense is a different animal here. Talk about that matchup here, this KC defense versus what we're just talking about here with Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, I think the Spags defense, the way I like to describe them, is they just create low percentage opportunities for the offense. Doesn't mean that they're not going to, you know, complete some passes down the field, but they don't give up a whole lot at the intermediate level, that 10 to 25 yard level. There's just not a lot of easy throws there, and that's where, you know, most NFL quarterbacks make their money. So they're going to make you hit a tight window shot down the field, and then, you know, like that famous 4th-and-5 Josh Allen play, even if they're open receivers, they're going to make you, with an overload blitz or whatever it is, make a very quick decision and go ahead, try to find the open guy, try to find somebody very quickly. So they just create low percentage opportunities, Kansas City. And overall, I think they do a pretty good job against the run. I think if you stick with it, though, if Philadelphia can find some creases, and, you know, we know what Saquon Barkley does when he has a crease, so I think they should stick with the run game, but they might be feel like they're, you know, banging their head against the wall for a little bit against Kansas City's front. So low percentage shots, and it's going to come down to Saquon Barkley finding that crease and A.J. Brown creating some of those big plays and on those tight window throws.
I want to pivot to the Commanders for our listening audience back home. They were so close. It doesn't feel like it. I guess they weren't that close. But they played in the game before this game, obviously, in the NFC. How authentic do you think the run was, as much as it was kind of the Cinderella journey where the clock struck midnight? And what should our expectations in town be going into next year?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was legit. But the further you get into the playoffs, the finer the margins are. And, you know, they're the only team to beat Philadelphia during this run, and they needed to be almost perfect to make that happen the first time around. And they were far from perfect in the NFC Championship game, so they weren't able to repeat the trick. But the constituent parts are there. I mean, this team with Jaden Daniels, a quarterback, looked absolutely transformed. Daniels is another one of those guys that has that dynamic ability to win in a variety of different ways, who is able to come up clutch in those critical moments. It's able to allow you to go for it on fourth down in a way a lot of teams won't, because they don't have that quarterback that can just pick things up even when the play that you called isn't necessarily going to work. You know, there's a defender there. Jaden Daniels can make it right anyway. So that side of the ball, I think, is in great shape. They've got weapons. They've got the ability to win. And then the defense is more of a work in progress. But, you know, they've shown that they can go on that kind of run and go toe-to-toe with the best teams in the NFL. So if they can add a little bit of talent to that side of the ball this offseason, there's no reason that they can't be kind of where the Lions were a year or two ago, right? A team that's clearly on the rise and able to just keep adding and get back there again.
Tim Monson, Steve Palazzolo, 33rd team with us here on Grant and Danny. So what should their offseason plan be, talking about Washington's? I mean, normally, first year of a rebuild, you're 6-11, maybe, you know, 7-10 if you get a doink in the positive direction. But they kind of went past everybody's expectations, ours included. How should they be approaching this offseason, right? Like, does that mean more aggressive? Does that mean smarter? Like, if you guys are getting calls to advise right now, how should Washington's offseason go?
Yeah, first off, by the way, I mean, you found the quarterback. And that's, I hate to oversimplify things, but you found the quarterback, right? So it's almost like you can't let that mask everything else, right? So because Jaden Daniels, I think, is special, it makes it feel like all the other moves this offseason were great. And I think they were fine. I think Adam Peters has done a fantastic job of reshaping this roster, mixing veterans with a pretty good draft. And I like the way they drafted the best players available. They didn't reach all that stuff. But there are still holes, right? So you can't let Jaden, just because I think Jaden Daniels helped elevate this thing, offensive line still needs work. Defensive line depth obviously got depleted over the last couple of years. That needs to get rebuilt up again. I think that's the key, is getting back to the trenches. O-line, D-line, you can't get overly aggressive, but because of the first contract quarterback, yeah, you can make a big splash, right? Like, of the few teams that are in the Myles Garrett sweepstakes, I think Washington's in there, right? Most fan bases say, yes, we want that, but yeah, we don't want to give up a one plus. We don't want to pay $40 million over 4 years. Washington can make that move, right? They could bring in a Myles Garrett, you know, structure the contract so that he comes off the books at the time where Jaden's going to have to get paid. So they are in position to be aggressive, but I think another year of building through the draft and continuing to reshape the roster is going to be huge.
I think it was you guys that put out the graphic, Sam. Two firsts for Myles Garrett would be a starting point.
Yeah, it's difficult.
Wait, 33rd put out a graphic for every team saying, I separate myself from our social media team.
It's such a tough thing because you've got, like, that's a really difficult contract to move if you're Cleveland. Like, just to make it happen, the Browns are going to need to do some things to just allow it to happen. So they don't want to move him anyway because he's their best player and he's, you know, been a great for that team. And the contract is a nightmare to shift from their perspective. So if anyone is able to actually make that happen, what they're going to need to give up is, I think, going to be more than they're going to be willing to give up, right? So it almost feels like a deal that isn't going to happen to me unless a team is, you know, desperate enough, you know, aggressive enough that they're just going to put a deal on the table that the Browns can't really turn down. But from a fit standpoint, you know, adding Myles Garrett to this team would be an incredible addition. But I really think because they found the quarterback, the key for Washington is just don't do anything crazy. Just, you know, you've already made the single biggest leap that you can make. Now just play everything by the numbers, right? You hit the best tee shot you could make. You're right on the fringe. Now let's just play by the percentages and get the thing in
top
the hole.
Golf, top golf reference.
Top golf.
So you're
they brought
not,
him to top golf.
You wouldn't be aggressive then in like a Myles Garrett, T. Higgins. You're not going big.
I mean, look, I'm going to pick up the phone. I'm going to find out what the cost is. But my suspicion is that the deal you would need to put in front of Cleveland is so much that I would walk away from that deal if I'm Washington. T. Higgins is a different scenario. Maybe that's a deal that absolutely could make sense for everybody. But, yeah, like I'm not – because I think I'm close, because I'm in the NFC Championship game, because I got my quarterback, I'm not using that as an excuse to go, let's pay over the odds and bring in Myles Garrett and make him the best paid defensive player in football. You know, if that becomes too rich, then you need to walk away and just put your priorities elsewhere.
I'd be interested in Higgins plus McLaurin, though. I'd be interested in that, or at least any kind of wide receiver too.
Right.
You know, bump everybody down the wide receiver depth chart and just continue to put pressure on
them. They only have two
defense.
Guys under contract, right? Yeah. It's McLaurin and Luke McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Otherwise, and most of those guys are journeymen anyway. We're talking to the fellas from Check the Mic, 33rd team. You can check out their show, Sam Monson, Steve Palazzolo with us here on Grant and Danny in D.C. As far as the coaching carousel went, was there anything that was particularly baffling to you guys, or whether someone who didn't get a job or somebody that did? What stands out to you?
I think it's probably Pete Carroll coming back.
Yeah,
with the Raiders. I mean, with a team that's not close, right? In his 70s, with a team that's not close, and everything that the Raiders have done to, they're being aggressive. It's a fascinating AFC West with all of those coaches, with Andy Reid, Jim Harbaugh, Sean Payton, and now Pete Carroll all there. That's the biggest surprise for me.
I think we've seen this for a couple of years now as well. These potential head coaching candidates are being pickier than they used to be, right? You used to just take the job that was on offer, regardless of what the job was. It might never come around again. You've got, you know, Liam Cohen being like, no, I'm not interested in the current setup. Then the current setup was removed from his responsibilities, and suddenly he was more interested.
Power move.
You know, you've got Ben Johnson, who's been picky for the last couple of years. You've got various people saying, I'm not interested in the Saints job as it currently stands. Like, this, is, I think, is a new era of coaches picking their spots.
I think Trent Baalke should just lean in, by the way, and just nickname himself the current setup. I think that would be hysterical.
The current setup. We've removed the current setup.
Yeah, AK,
you can
Trent
come back now.
In 3 years, is Bill Belichick still coaching at UNC?
No.
Steve is. Steve Belichick.
Yeah. Might be the master plan.
The
master
whole thing plan, feels like a con job just to get Steve the job.
Yeah, I don't think he's still there.
Will he be in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, he does feel like the guy that he's not just going to do media for the rest of his life. I do think he'll continue to try to coach.
Don't you feel like it just feels like such a hard sell now, though? Like, it felt like a hard sell once he was fired from the Patriots because of his age, because of the weird, you know, setup that New England had for so many years, like the unique situation. Who, I mean, the Pete Carroll thing complicates it, obviously, but like, who's going to want to buy into Bill Belichick at his age, which is only getting a year older every year, with whatever setup he's been accustomed to, his giant manifesto? Like, who wants to turn the keys over to
he's
that?
He's writing a book. He's got his whole book. That's
I love the manifesto.
The manifesto is being published right now.
Like,
basically.
Shad Khan might, but he just hired people.
The Pete Carroll thing, it is different, though, because he's going to be a culture setter,
maybe
pass it off in a couple of years and just, like, reshape the culture. Belichick's not that guy. He's like a do-it-my-way, and then
like
no
culture,
one can replicate this
his
thing.
His culture might not be a good thing to add to a team.
So, yeah, maybe not. Maybe he's never in the NFL.
That would be stunning, but we're headed that way after he went to North Carolina, so nothing will surprise me anymore. Fellas, have a great week. Enjoy the game.
You too.
Thank you for stopping through. Love your work. Next, Cooper Kupp is available. Is that a name that Washington might kick the tires on? You're listening to Grant and Danny on the Fan.